He says, you believe in God, believe also, Jesus said, in me. In my Father's house, there's many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you unto myself.
Why do you run from me? I just don't understand. I'm reaching out for you. You won't take my hand.
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Good day and welcome to Love Never Fails. We are currently airing Pastor Bill's in-depth study of the Epistle of Hebrews. Now, from Pastor's study last time, the writer makes it clear that faith is very practical, despite what unbelievers say. Faith enables us to understand what God does, and faith enables us to see what others cannot see. As a result, faith enables us to do what others cannot do. So let's join Pastor for today's message, God is not ashamed to be called.
The book of Hebrews, or the letter of Hebrews, to me, it is a revolutionary letter. I love Hebrews, amen? And if you've been with us any time at all, it just seems to me, I'm not talking about my teaching, I'm just talking about the book itself, the letter itself. It just gets gooder and gooder, is that okay? I mean, that's good Texas talk, isn't it? And so the thing is that remember that it's written to the Jewish believers who had left Judaism. The temple is still standing, okay? Had not been destroyed yet. They're offering sacrifices. But these Jewish believers, they left. They trusted in Jesus as their Lord, their Messiah. They've left the Levitical priesthood and the sacrifices all behind. And that's the purpose of Hebrews. It's written, Hebrews 13, 22, Paul, the apostle, who I believe is the author, he wrote this as a letter of encouragement for all of them not to go back to something, the Judaism, but to press on, keep running the race of faith. And there's only one way to do that, and that is looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen? Now, with all of that being said, we have learned and we know from this great letter that it has taught us that there's only one way for a true Christian to live on this planet that we call the earth, and that is the just shall live by faith. There's absolutely no other way. So with that being introduced this morning, we know that true Bible faith is confident obedience to God's word in spite of conflict or persecution or the circumstances that may surround us in our life. And that word is certainly true of our study this morning of a man called Abraham. Abraham is the supreme example of faith. Amen? In the Bible. The Bible calls him in Romans 4:11, he's the father of all believers. In James, I believe it is, chapter 2, verse 22, 23, right in that area, James calls Abraham a friend of God. Matter of fact, Romans bases everything on Abraham, amen, and also Galatians. And here in Hebrews, Abraham is, in chapter 11, that is, he is given more verses than anyone else in the Hall of Fame of Faith. So we're studying him this morning. Now, we're going to be, of course, in chapter 11 here, but we're going to be in Genesis chapter 12 for a little bit. We're going to be in Romans chapter 4, verse 17 and following for a little bit, in case you want to mark that down so you'll be able to turn when we get there. But with all that being said, this morning we're going to talk about God is not ashamed to be called, a question mark there, and we're going to find the answer to that beginning in verse 8. It says, by faith, Abraham did something. He obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Now, can you believe that that would happen in someone's life? Can you imagine going out, not having any facts? Do you understand? No knowledge. In other words, he went out going, but he went out without knowing. And the only way to do that is by faith in God. Amen? To be obedient to God. Now, Abraham didn't know where he was going, but God knew where he was going. And that's all you need to know. We don't always need to know where we're going. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 3, 5, and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all of your ways. And what will God do? He will, God, not you, he will direct your paths. The word direct, as you've heard me say many times, in Hebrew, it means to make level, okay? Smooth. But don't define that yourself. Let God define what level and smooth is, amen? Or you'll get in a lot of trouble because God knows exactly the path that we need to take, whether it's uphill, downhill, in the valley, on top of the mountain, he knows it all. So Abraham, by faith, he left. Now listen, true Bible faith steps out on nothing but one thing, and that is God's holy word. Amen? And that's what Abraham did. Now, with all that being said, turn to Genesis chapter 12 and look at verse 1 with me, the call of Abraham. Here comes God's command, Genesis 12, 1. God commands Abram. He says, now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, away from your family, from your father's house, to a land I will show you. Now, later on, he's going to say the land I'm going to give you, but not here. He said, I'm just going to show you a land. Now, why did God tell him, get away from everything that you know, get away from your family, get away from your friends, get away from your mother-in-law? That's not in there, okay? But why would he do that? That's exactly the same thing he does to us when he tells us to step out in faith. Get away from everything you can trust, go back to, cling to, or get advice from. He says, no, no, I want you, I am God and I am God alone in your life and I'm the one that's going to get you there. So by faith, it says Abraham obeyed. Quick question. Did Abraham at that time, did he have absolutely any idea that from him would become not only one nation, but many nations, but he would be the father of the Hebrew race? No. Did he realize he was going to, from him would come the 12 tribes of Israel? No. Did he have any idea that from his lineage, Jesus the Messiah would be born? No, he had none of that at all. Listen, that is amazing, loved one. He left everything he knew, his country, his home, his family, for an unknown destination. Now listen to me. And in the Greek, it tells us literally, he left instantly. He didn't ponder. He didn't, let me pray about it. Let me go talk with somebody. He said, let me go see Pastor Bill. Do you understand what I mean? He instantly obeyed the word of God. Hebrews 3:7, today, the Holy Spirit says, today, right now, the urgency. If you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Do what he is asking you to do. So Abram, he walked away from what was seen to what was unseen to some unknown destination, loved one. And that is when the adventure of faith begins. It's when we obey God's word. And you know what we find? Whenever we obey the word of God, that's where we find the plan of God and the purpose of God in our life. The reason I say that, look at verse 2 now of chapter 12. We had God's command. Now we have God's promise to Abram. And I will make you a great nation. How many children did he have when God gave him that promise? None. He didn't have any kids at all. He said, I'm going to make you a great nation. Can you imagine that? Would you think it might be blowing him away? Especially he was 75, huh? Oh, you got, never mind. I'll make you a great nation. I'll bless you. I'll make your name great. You're going to be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, man. I'm going to curse those who curses you. And look at this. And in you, Abram, can you believe God's getting ready to speak that to him? Can you imagine God speaking this to you? In you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Do you think he knew what that meant? That means every family, Jew, Gentile. How? Because of Jesus Christ, the Messiah that'll come through his lineage, loved one. And here's something that blows me away. Look what God did. Out of all the people on the planet at that moment, all the people, all over the world, God picked one man in the Ur of the Chaldees, and he blessed him. And let me tell you something. Here's the thing. Abraham didn't have to make one thing that God promised him happen. He didn't have to work at it. He didn't have to figure it out. He had to do one thing and the same thing that we have to do, and that is believe the word of God. In other words, we have to hear God's word and do God's word, which means we obey God's word. Amen? Now, it says, look what he did. So Abram departed. He departed by faith, loved one, Also, the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old. He had no children. He didn't know where he was going. He says he was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Now listen, you talk about faith. I counted the words that God spoke. God spoke 70 words to Abraham, or Abram. He hadn't changed his name yet. Okay, 70 words, and that's all it took. Boy, Hebrews 10:38 again, the just shall live by faith. Question, what would happen if this church, forget the rest of the body of Christ, what would happen if this church said, you know what, God said it, I believe it, I'm going to obey it. Do you think things might change? Yeah. Oh, listen, I look at it and say, oh Lord, if that's the truth, and do we really believe it? Do we really believe if we hear God's word and do God's word and believe God's promises, things would change? Well, then why don't we do it? Why is there so many that don't? I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know where I'm going to go. I don't know how my provision or whatever. No, wait, why? You know why? The Bible tells us why. It says about us, let us set aside or cast away the sin, a specific sin that so easily ensnares us or traps us, Hebrews 12:1. What is the sin? It's the sin of unbelief. Unbelief steals from the Christian. Amen? But just think if we all believe that. Now listen, think about this for a moment. I know there's probably people older than me in the chapel this morning, okay? So if you're 75 years old, okay, for example, anybody 75, just a hand go quickly up. Oh God, I'm older than everybody. No, oh, Elizabeth, I'm coming. No, can you imagine? Listen, Ur of the Chaldees, you know, you think, oh, it was a horrible place and he had to leave. Do you know when Sir, whatever his name was Woolley, his last name in 1922, he discovered the Ur of the Chaldees. Did you know what kind of place it was he uncovered there? Oh, you know, you think, well, you know, I'm called out of the Ur of the Chaldees, you know, the city of moon worship and all of that. And it's just, you know, I live in a little hut and, you know, and try to little rocks and that way fire comes. You know what I mean? When he uncovered, Sir Woolley, uncovered the Ur of the Chaldees in 1922, you know what he found? He found two-story homes. He found a library that would blow you away concerning math and astrology and arithmetic and so forth. He also, all of the roads were paved roads. They even had underground sewer. Are you listening to me? Yeah. He left all of that. Now listen to me. 75 is when I want my lazy boy. Let me go over here. 75 is when you don't want to go anywhere. Am I right? Come on. I mean, I'm ready to go home right now. You know? No. And he called him at 75. He instantly, I mean instantly, obeyed. And here's something. Now listen to me. What happens when you instantly, you obey God? Boy, you're excited. You heard the voice of God, or that scripture came alive in your heart. And you said, I know God's called me to do this. I have the word. I have his promise. And you step out. And the first thing that happens to you, loved one, is this. Your faith is going to be challenged. Your faith is going to be tested. A faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. Amen? And you know what Abram did? Let me tell you what he did. So in Genesis 12:9, Abram, he went into the land of promise that God showed him. Yes, he did. And he journeyed and he went on toward the south. But there was a famine. People were starving to death. There was no food. There was a famine in the land. And Abram went down to Egypt to live there, for the famine was severe in the land. Now, question, did God tell him to leave the land that he had shown him? No. And he went down. That is when you see what's going on. Okay, look at the famine. Everybody's starving to death. Man, and you hear the voice of the wicked one, the father of every lie. And he says, you heard the voice of God, did you? And he brought you all the way out here. Oh, and he gave you all these promises. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great. All these descendants are going to come from you. And he says, look at you. Look along the road. Look at the camels. They're dead. Look at the cows. They're dead. And you're going to die of hunger because there's not any food. That's the voice of the devil. Now listen, God never told him to go down there. So he didn't ask of God. He just went down there. Because, well, there's going to be at least some food that's going on there. Listen to me. The devil was saying, you're going to starve to death. But here's what I want you to see. See, his faith was being tested. And the wicked one always does that. Loved one, listen to me. When God calls you to do something, stay where He has called you until He tells you to leave. I would rather be in a famine, if it's God's will, than not be. It's so easy to, you look at the circumstances instead of looking to God. What do you want me to do? Listen, God can make a manna fall out of heaven if He wants to, can He? Yes, He can feed us, so we don't need to worry about that. And we definitely don't want to go down to Egypt. Egypt represents the world. We don't need the world's help. We need the help from the one who created the world. Amen? Now, with all of that being said, go back to Hebrews now. Look at verse 9. And it says, and by faith, Abram, he dwelt in the land of promise, the land that God promised him, as, look how he lived, as in a foreign country. And he was dwelling in tents. In other words, tents are not a permanent place to live. Dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Now listen very carefully. Abraham, how much of the land did he possess? He didn't possess any of it. Isn't that amazing? Oh, he possessed it by faith. But he didn't possess any of it. It says in Acts chapter 7, verse 5 of Stephen's speech to the religious leaders of that day. He said, God gave Abraham no inheritance, not even enough to set his foot on. Think about that. Look at the life of Abraham. How much land did Abraham ever own in the land of promise? Only he owned one thing, a grave. The cave of Machpelah, remember? The place that he buried, he bought it. The place that he buried Sarah, his wife, later on, Genesis, 23, right in that area. And later he would be buried next to her in the same cave. That's the only thing that he owned. Why? It says that he lived in tents as a sojourner or an alien, not a resident, which means he lived in a land that God had promised him, yet in that land that God promised him, Abraham had no rights as a citizen. Are you following me? Very important that we see that. Now, God did something, though. After Abram died, did he repeat the same promise to Isaac and to Jacob? Absolutely. Let me give it to you now about the land. Genesis 12:7. The Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your descendants, I'm going to give this land. Genesis 13:14. Abram, lift up your eyes right now. Look at the place where you are. Look north, look south, east, west. For all the land which you see, I give to you. And I give to your descendants. And listen to this word. Forever. I give it to you, Abraham. Genesis 15:7. God said to Abram, I'm the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldees to give you this land to inherit it. Genesis 15:18, on this same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham and his descendants. I have given you, past tense, I have already done it. I've given you this land from the river of Egypt to the great river Euphrates. And then in Genesis 17, verses 7 and 8, he says, it is an everlasting covenant. This land will be an everlasting possession. Now listen very carefully. Abraham left the Ur of the Chaldees when he was 75. He died in faith when he was 175. Now, he waited for that land, not just 25 years or 50 years or 75 years. He waited on that land in faith for 100 years, and he never possessed what God had promised unto him. But he died believing it. He died in faith. Question, was the God who cannot lie, did he lie? Did he not keep his promises? Well, listen now. Abraham, did he live in a home? No. He lived in tents. Amen. Is a tent a home? No. A tent is temporary. You follow me? It's not a home at all. Now, why is that? Abraham wasn't looking for the land of promise. He walked up and down it. His eyes were everywhere. He built altars all over it to worship God. But he wasn't looking for the land of promise. He was looking for something so much greater than the land of promise. He was looking as he traveled. He was looking for a specific city. Look at the next verse. It says, for he, Abraham, he waited, or literally, he looked for the city, a specific city, not just a bunch of cities, but one city only. He looked as he traveled through the promised land. He looked for the city which has foundations. Now, a tent doesn't have, it's a contrast. Tent doesn't have a foundation whose builder and maker is God. Man, the city, that specific city that has eternal foundations and a city that will last for all eternity. What did Abraham do? He focused on eternity, and the architect and the builder was God and God alone. Angels didn't build that city in the heavenlies. Amen. Man certainly didn't do it. It was God and God alone. Bible faith, true Bible faith, waits in confident expectation no matter how long it takes. If God said it, one way or another, it is going to happen. And there's not a person in this room right now or listening live that we are not, all of us are in God's waiting room, waiting on something, our prayer to be answered or whatever. Amen? The Bible says in Psalm 130, verse 5, I wait on the Lord, my soul waits on the Lord. And here's why. Because his hope is in the Word of God. And that is certain hope. It's not like I hope so, loved one. So he waited, it says in verse 10, for the city which foundations, has foundations, whose builder or architect and builder is God. Now, we are just like Abraham right now. Did you know that? In other words, are we pilgrims and aliens in this world? Are we sojourners? Are we just passing through? Is this our permanent home? No, it's not permanent at all, loved one. Listen, this is not our home. We are on the way home, just like Abraham was on the way home. Now, when we think about this, pilgrims, the word pilgrim literally means to be placed alongside the native people, okay? So here we are. We're placed alongside people, if you will, and we're scattered alongside the lost so we can win them to Christ. We live in a world that only has two kinds of people. Those in Adam, and in Adam all die. In other words, a person that's in Adam, he is dead, she is dead in trespasses and sins, okay? They go through the activities of life, but it's only physical life. They have no spiritual life because they're not born again. So the only two people on earth, those in Adam, they all die. And those in Christ, they all will be made alive. We're all new creations of Christ. Old things passed away. All things become brand new. Now listen. So here we are, we're strangers and we're passing through because this is not our home. You never want to feel at home here, amen? No, it says in Hebrews 13, 14, for here, this world that we live in, we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Peter said this in 2 Peter 3:13. He says, nevertheless, we, according to the promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now, look at verse 11. And let's go to Sarah. It says, by Sarah, that's Abraham's wife, remember. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. And she bore a child. She bore Isaac, remember? It says, and she bore a child when she was past the age. In other words, she was old, okay? And how'd she do it? Well, because she judged him, meaning God, faithful, who had promised. So Sarah, by faith, believed God's promise, and she knew her current reality. She said, yeah, I know my condition. Therefore, from one man, and him good as dead, were born as many as the stars, the sky, and the multitude, innumerable as the sand, which is by the seashore. Now, how long did Abraham and Sarah wait for the promise? Remember, God showed up and said, you're going to have a son this time next year or so forth. You're going to call his name Isaac, which means laughter. And Sarah was in the tent kind of hiding, and she started laughing. And the Lord said, why are you laughing? He said, I didn't laugh. He said, yes, you did. You won't mess with God, right? Now, and so, I mean, how long did they wait? They waited 25 years from the time God gave them that promise. And that's amazing. How old were they when Isaac was born? Well, Abraham was 100 years old. Can you believe that? 100 years old. Sarah was, what, 90, 99, whatever it is. And so turn to Romans with me, Romans 4:17. He says, as it is written, and he's quoting Genesis 17:5, God says, I've made you, Abraham, a father of many nations in the presence of him who he believed. God who gives life to the dead, speaking about the dead bodies, if you will. They were living, but they couldn't produce children, Abraham and Sarah. And calls those things which do not exist as though they did.
There's so much more to this message, and we encourage you to tune in tomorrow when Pastor Bill will conclude today's message. Thank you for listening to Love Never Fails. And until next time, may the Lord bless you. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.